Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before jumping into this next interview, I want to talk about one of the things that I personally think is the best and easiest ways to start making a huge impact on your movement and your overall physical and movement health, and that is being barefoot more often. That's why Jen and I talk about Vivo barefoot shoes all the time and how we've completely transitioned our entire lives into using these shoes for every single aspect of our days. We have slippers for in-home, we work out in these shoes, we take them on walks, we use them when we go hiking or even going to weddings. They have options where you can dress the shoes up, still look nice, but still get the benefits from that barefoot style. Vivo barefoot shoes have a flexible bottom, a thin bottom, and they have room for your toes and your feet to move how they are supposed to. Just by wearing these shoes the majority of time over 6 months, you can increase your internal foot strength up to 60 or 70%. And there are so many implications from increasing your toe range of motion, increasing your ankle range of motion, increasing the resilience in your calves. Everything that these shoes do are help your toes, feet, and ankles work better and support themselves rather than putting external things in like inserts or making sure you have a thick bottom on your shoe. These shoes help build your foot from the inside out. So if you want to get yourself in Vivo barefoot shoes, check the link down in the show notes. Our special podcast code for our podcast guests only is TOB to get 15% off your entire order. Check out that link in the show notes and get yourself in some barefoot shoes today. With our next guest, we dive into a topic we've never touched on before in our podcast, float therapy. Our guest, Max Casa, also known as the Shamanic Sensei, is an accomplished lifelong martial artist, performance coach, and medicine man. Before becoming the founder of Max Vitality, Max trained day and night for over a decade, aiming to become the next top UFC featherweight prospect. His drive to become the best led him down the rabbit hole of biohacking and all-around performance optimization. After countless health obstacles, Max dedicated himself to finding the easiest and most effective recovery therapy. Max discovered float therapy, also known as sensory deprivation, hoping it would aid in his physical recovery. He soon realized that simply lying suspended in a silent, dark, saltwater-filled tank not only healed his body, but simultaneously enhanced his mind and deepened his connection with his spirit. Max now aims to spread his wisdom on the benefits of floating, magnesium, minerals, and energy, and hopes to help others strengthen and balance their mind, body, and spirit. Hope you get some great things out of this and the benefits of both float therapy and sensory deprivation, but also the incredible benefit it can bring by optimizing your magnesium levels. Max, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. I'm really excited for this conversation because I know that one of your expertises lies in float therapy and all of the different benefits that can come from floating. So thanks for spending some time with us and lending your brain for a minute.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. Pleasure to be here.
So first of all, what the heck is a float tank? For anyone who's never understood or heard floating, what is this concept?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, and it's a good place to start for anyone that's listening. So really, a float tank or float therapy, also known as sensory deprivation, is a powerful form of therapy that involves getting in a big float tank. Usually it's a big egg-shaped hot tub type tank, usually with the lid over the top. But if anyone here gets a chance to check out our site, we also have totally open float chambers as well, which look more like a small swim spa or a hot tub that's totally open with no lid on the top. But regardless of the style of the tank, floating or this form of therapy involves getting inside this tank. And inside this tank, there's 10 inches of water, but these 10 inches of water are super saturated with over 1,000 pounds of therapeutic grade magnesium salts, commonly Epsom salts. And the benefits of Epsom salts alone have been well known and well documented for hundreds of years at this point. So they provide many benefits on the mind and the body. But inside this tank, it's also totally void of all external sensory stimulation coming into the brain and the nervous system altogether, which is a really special thing in this postmodernized world. So really, when you're in this tank, not even a single photon of light is entering the user's experience at all. There's no sense of sounds because the tank itself is sound resistant and the user is also wearing earplugs. There's no smells, there's no taste, there's no movement, there's no speech inside the tank, and there isn't even a sensation of touch because the saltwater solution in there and the air inside the chamber is precisely heated and kept to a constant 94.5 degrees Fahrenheit, which is skin receptor neutral. So that can lead to profound, because really when you're in there, the user's brain oftentimes loses sensation of where their body ends and where the water begins, which can lead to deep relaxation and parasympathetic states. But ultimately a float tank is a tool that's used for float therapy. And the form of therapy is as simple as getting inside the tank and laying back and floating.
In this podcast, we're talking a lot about magnesium and the benefit of optimizing your magnesium levels in your body. Everything that it can benefit you in, from your energy levels to your sleep to your bowel regularity, everything. It can help with cramps, mind fog, so much more. And that's why Jen and I, on a daily basis, use Element. It's our favorite electrolyte drink. It not only helps your water taste delicious, but it also helps you replace some of those super, super vital electrolytes being sodium, magnesium, and potassium. Jen and I love the different flavors. It keeps us coming back to that water day in and day out, not to just keep hydrated with the water, but to keep our cells hydrated by giving them back those electrolytes. If you go down to the link in the show notes, which is drinkelement, spelled out LMNT.com/optimal, and order your Element today, you get a free sample pack so you can try out all the different flavors and know which one you like the best when you inevitably come back to get more. Go down to the link in the show notes and get your free sample pack today. Let's get back to the interview. Now, I think that there's a lot of different threads that we kind of want to pull on, but one of the first ones is you talk about sensory deprivation. And I want to dive in a little bit on why that can be so important and beneficial for the average human in this, like you said, postmodernized world.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't recognize what a extremely large stressor all of the stimulation we're constantly getting bombarded with. Our brains, our nervous system, are constantly having to process and dissect tens of millions of bits of information every single second of the day. Mm. And that's a huge stressor. It requires a lot of our energy, a lot of our brain power, a lot of our ATP to be able to perform and process all the stimulation coming in. So when someone enters an environment like this, where oftentimes for the first time in the user's entire life, there's none of that. There's nothing coming into the brain from the external world at all. And our brain and our nervous system doesn't have to worry anymore about processing the external world, trying to keep us safe, trying to solve all these problems that are going on out there, you know? So when a lot of people enter a tank like this where it's silent and it's dark and there's nothing much to do in there except go in, our nervous system can transition to its parasympathetic state, its rest and digest state. And a lot of times in here, we see a lot of accelerated healing, accelerated recovery, a down regulation of all these stressful hormones and biochemicals that are causing inflammatory responses in the body, and ultimately a lot of healing. But really, our brain and our nervous system, when we're in a place like that, can take all of its consciousness and its brain power that it was putting towards the external world, and it can take all that energy and consciousness and bring it in and put it towards whatever it is it really truly has to do. And oftentimes that's relax, it's recover, and reset better than ever before.
I mean, this is incredibly powerful, especially in today's age where we're constantly stimulated with just technology. I mean, screens, social media, the ability to stream on your phone even and just be constantly stimulated to then step into something where that's all taken away. And it's just a place to really, you know, like you said, tap into that parasympathetic. That's so powerful. And even the reason why, you know, on our side of things for clinicians, people tend to come see a clinician because you get the body work and you get the system down regulation just from the touch stimulation and all of that. But knowing that you can go in somewhere and get those same benefits from being with yourself and just being in that sensory deprivation, like that's really powerful. And that's super huge. I mean, how did you even in the first place stumble upon wanting to understand this therapy? Like, was it something that you sought in your own life? Like, how did you come into this?
Yeah, it's a great question because it is a more obscure therapy. Yeah, so really, I guess it started when I was born because I was diagnosed with a degenerative neuromuscular disease at birth called Charcot-Marie-Tooth, or CMT for short. And really, that kind of sparked some things, especially on my parents' end, because they saw me suffering and struggling to balance and walk and do all these other toddler things. So they decided to put me into the martial arts, which I'm extremely grateful for. And fortunately, I stuck with it and it became a huge part of my life. And then ultimately, just fast forward, as I got older and started teaching and competing more, I was just constantly looking for ways to optimize my mind and body, I guess you could say, and float therapy. So I tried all these different forms of therapy, from high-end Western world technologies to South American shamanic brews and Eastern medicines and just about everything in between. But I had heard some people at my dojo where I was training martial arts talking about floating, getting ready for one of their competitions. So I went to the float center in town, and we're going back probably like 8 years at this point. But back then, because I'm up here in Massachusetts, a little bit north of Boston. And so I went into the city, I got my float on. And at the time, it was one of the only float centers in the entire United States. One of the first ones. So I went in there, had my first float, wasn't too sure what to expect, but just shut the lid, laid back, and started surrendering to the silent darkness and just feeling, really for the first time in my life, what it felt like just to be present in the moment. I think a big part of it was just kind of giving my brain and my mind permission to just kind of quiet down a little bit. Like, hey, buddy, you got nothing to worry about while you're in here. I want you to go into this tank and not think about anything. You don't have to think about anything. We're constantly giving our mind and our brain so many tasks to do. But yeah, so for me, when I had that first float, something just resonated inside, because it was one of the first forms of therapy for me that really intimately linked together the physical and mental recovery with the spiritual piece as well, which is something I was looking to delve deeper into at that point in my life. So yeah, I started floating more and more and diving into the research and how I was helping so many people, and then ultimately got inspired to start up my company, Max Vitality, where we now distribute float therapy chambers and our bath salts that go into the float tanks people use at home. And yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Oh, that's amazing. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, a story of my own. When you said, you know, your first experience of getting in the float tank and just being able to be there, and it kind of everything else kind of melts away, you know, from the rest of the world. And it reminds me of, so I have a background in playing some college football at the Division III level, and I've got some head trauma, pretty significant head trauma, in a car accident that I was in. And one of the things that really helped me in starting to heal was when I really got into breath work, you know, more of the holotropic Wim Hof style breath work. And it honestly threw me into some what I would call psychedelic type experiences without the use of any psychedelics or, you know, or drugs outside of just breathing. And would you say that some people have experiences like that when getting into sensory deprivation for the first time, or, you know, just allowing that brain to explore and operate in a way that it may never have for your whole life?
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, no, it's it's cool that you delve deep into the breath work and started just realizing and accessing these altered states of consciousness that are available to all of us. And it's not necessary to have to take anything any catalysts, whether it's psilocybin or any of the other plant medicines, to achieve these heightened states of consciousness and awareness. But I know for me, in all transparency, I actually had my first experience with a plant medicine, psilocybin, a little bit before my first float session. And I accessed heightened states of consciousness, and I started getting a different perspective on my life that I had never experienced before, ever. And it was a very transformative experience for me. But yeah, I guess what ended up happening kind of is I started getting more curious about what these states were that I was tapping into, because I was finding it beneficial, but I didn't want to have to keep taking any catalyst to get there. Mm-hmm. I realized these are internal states, and if I just learned how to maneuver my consciousness to these places, it could be really, really beneficial. So that's kind of when I stumbled upon floating too. And floating ended up being the first place, the first environment that helped me transition into these altered states of consciousness and these different brain waves, where we're going into the deep delta and even theta brainwaves without having to take anything at all. Because when our brain can just relax, dim out, and our nervous system can transition to that parasympathetic state, what we start to see is even the left and right hemispheres of the brain, which typically work more interdependently, begin to harmonize and synergize and vibrate in unison. And these left and right parts of the brain begin to operate in coherence. And what this can lead to is states like the flow states, or ultimately heightened states of consciousness and awareness, similar to what people are getting from plant medicine experiences as well.
Wow, that's fascinating. I mean, I myself have done a psilocybin experience, and that was super profound. So now I'm very curious to try my own floating session and see how that opens up as well. What are some of the other top benefits that you would say are really coming out, maybe in the research, or just that you're finding from experiences with having this company now and working with so many people?
And I would add to that before you answer that, you mentioned that this is kind of an obscure therapy. And I feel like anytime people see obscure therapies, they think, oh, that's woo-woo.
Right.
Or, oh, that's some sort of dark magic that they don't actually have any proof for. So yeah, like what do you have to back this up with that may be coming out in the research?
Totally. Yeah, no, good point there. And really, when it comes to the benefits of floating, really, there's so many, but they can be summed up quite nicely with these three main pillars of benefits. So really, all the benefits that people are seeing from the zero gravity aspect of being in the float tank. Because when you're inside this tank, it's totally unlike laying on a bed or a mattress at the end of the night, where there's thousands of springs and pain points that are cutting off your microcirculation. Because we're in a float tank like this, again, this environment is so extremely buoyant, I could literally take a bowling ball, put it in the water, and it would float to the top like a cork. Mm-hmm. It enables effortless floating. It's a zero gravity-like environment. So when you're in here, your blood vasculature can totally relax and your capillaries can vasodilate. So what we start to see is this huge surge and increase in things like blood flow and oxygen flow and microcirculation to all parts of the body, all parts of the brain. I know you talked about TBI and concussions, which is incredibly healing for thousands of ailments. Second, which we had touched on a little bit, is all the benefits we're getting from the sensory deprivation aspect. Again, the parasympathetic response, the merging of the left and right hemispheres of the brain, and all the beautiful benefits that comes out of escaping all the stressors from the external world. And then three is kind of the pillar benefits that's captured my heart these past many years, is the fact that while you're laying in this saltwater sensory deprived tank, you're also soaking up magnesium transdermally through your skin. More precisely, through the hair follicles of your skin during the entirety of every single float session. And a lot of people don't recognize, when you're in this tank, you're also soaking up magnesium through the mucous membranes of your backside. You're also breathing this stuff in. It's getting absorbed through the lungs. So it's really like a magnesium bomb in there. And the reason why that's so massive is for many reasons, but magnesium is supposed to be the fourth most abundant mineral in the human body, and the second most abundant mineral inside most of our cells. And unfortunately, over 80% of Americans, and recent research has pointed to higher amounts, closer to 95 to even 99% of Americans are extremely magnesium deficient. But in a nutshell, the main benefits of floating are all the benefits we're getting from the zero gravity, the sensory deprivation, and all the magnesium's getting soaked up during a float.
I think that's a great way to sum it up. I kind of want to dive in on that last point that you brought up being magnesium, because I feel like magnesium is one of the more hyped up supplements that is out there right now for good reason, like you said, because many people are very deficient in it. But whether it's, you know, taking it through a pill or taking it in some sort of electrolyte mix, what is the benefit of having transdermal absorption of magnesium versus taking it orally in some sort of supplement?
Yeah, great question. And really, so transdermal magnesium is just magnesium, for anyone listening, magnesium that's soaked up through the skin, which is hands down the most rapid and effective way to get magnesium into the body. Because like I said, it's soaked up right through the hair follicles where it can enter the bloodstream instantaneously. And what we start to see with a lot of the oral magnesium supplements and pills, electrolyte mixes, same thing. One, these forms of magnesium are oftentimes highly processed, sometimes depending on the form, mildly toxic due to its production ways. But more importantly, is there's research suggesting that a lot of these magnesium pills, one, aren't super bioavailable because they're getting destroyed by the GI tract. But even that aside, a lot of times they're taking 9 to 12 months to really start to increase our red blood cell magnesium levels, any if at all. So that's why, like when I talked to Dr. Mercola, for example, he's crystal clear that he wasn't able to really start moving the dial on his red blood cell magnesium levels until he started introducing transdermal forms. And for him, that was via the float tank at his house. But really, transdermal magnesium applied to the skin, whether it's a float, whether it's a bath, foot soaks are great. I love foot soaks. I always get my daily foot soak in. What's cool about the foot soaks is we have the largest pores in the entire body on the bottom of our feet and the nerve endings to every major organ in the body. So I just put my feet in a little foot soak basin, couple tablespoons of magnesium salts, warm water, soak the mag up right through the bottoms of the feet. Another great way is topical lotion or spray as well. But yeah, many forms of magnesium, transdermal magnesium rather, but transdermal magnesium, again, the most rapid and effective way. Oral magnesium is a powerful tool, and we always want to be opting for magnesium-rich food sources as well. But unfortunately, a lot of our magnesium-rich foods aren't as high in magnesium as we'd like to think, because our soils have been depleted and our mag-rich plants and herbs only have as much magnesium and other minerals as the soils that they're grown in. And things like factory farming and the NPK fertilizer a lot of our farmers are using, and the biosludge tap water that our plants and herbs are watered with, have really zapped the soils and as a result our plants of a lot of their magnesium levels. So with magnesium, it's a tricky one. Obviously, whole food sources are best. Oral mag is a powerful tool, but we don't want to rely on it solely. And then transdermal is really mandatory, in my opinion, and really essential for a solid health protocol, because we can start reaping the beautiful benefits of magnesium right away.
And how can someone start to tell, like, are there symptoms that you could be magnesium deficient without even knowing, like without testing? Are there signs that we could be looking for within our own body that is kind of pointing to, oh, you might be magnesium deficient?
Definitely. Yeah, really, there's the magnesium miracle lists many, but there's well over anywhere between 5,000 and 10,000 diseases that are intimately linked with magnesium deficiency towards the root cause. So things like anxiety, depression, insomnia, whether even conditions like eczema and asthma or muscle twitches or heart palpitations, a lot of times when we dive deep into it, at the root of many of these disorders, we find a magnesium deficiency. There's many reasons for that, but yeah, really just listening to your body. And a lot of times we could tell, but a lot of these disorders related to stress or trouble sleeping or twitches, the rest of it, a lot of times is a magnesium piece, a deficiency at the root of it.
Yeah. And I mean, just from our background in health sciences, going through physical therapy school, we learn a lot about that cellular physiology and how important, like you said, magnesium's supposed to be the second most abundant mineral inside the cell. And that right there tells us why it is so important to have enough of it, and being deficient can therefore cause an array of different symptoms. So one of my questions is, of course, with any intervention, we want to talk about dose and also frequency. Like, so for whether we're talking about doing full floats or, like you mentioned, doing something like magnesium foot soaks, like how long do we have to be in these baths? How often do we have to be doing them to see some of these benefits come out on both the neurologic side or just improving your magnesium levels?
Yeah, well, well said. And yeah, so really when people ask, really just getting to the root of what they're looking to get out of a float. You know, so some people come and they have back pain or knee injuries, or they're recovering from concussions. And but if it's a more chronic condition that they're working with and looking for relief from, recommending oftentimes anywhere from a couple times or really as many times as possible within the first 2 weeks for chronic conditions. Mm. That's really going to help to zap the inflammation and help speed up the healing process. But there's a lot of people that are coming for floats. Maybe they're looking for stress and anxiety reduction, or even they're just looking to sleep better at night. So with on that side of things, there's a lot of research that supports that the anti-anxiety effects or stress reduction effects of a single 1 hour float session are lasting anywhere from 24 to 36 hours after a single float. Mm. All right. That's a pretty long time to see such a immense decrease in state anxiety and straight stress after just going in a tank for an hour and doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So if people are looking for more of the stress reduction, sleeping better at night sort of effects, floating anywhere from a couple times a week to a couple times a month can be really effective there.
That's so great. I think it's important to continue to understand like how often I'm supposed to be doing something. A lot of times we think, oh, I just do it once and I'm going to be good. But it's really about that repetition and how much I can keep getting this into my life in order to see the maximal benefits. I think that consistency is really important. And when it comes to, you know, someone who might be pregnant, I know that I have seen some benefits from floating, but I also know that there's a lot of people who are afraid to lay on your back. So how do you kind of, are there contraindications? Is there a time that's better? Or is it just, it's totally safe if you're pregnant? Like can you talk a little bit into that?
Yeah, definitely. So with pregnancy, we have a lot of pregnant women that come into our float tanks and get their float on, and usually have really, really peaceful experiences. And really there's not much to sweat there, unless, just like with any user, unless they had any liver conditions or anything like that, where they may have trouble processing that high concentration of magnesium. But other than that, floating super safe and really great for a lot of pregnant women as well. I know even just the zero gravity environment and being weightless inside the tank can be really beneficial. Can relieve a lot of pain and tension and stress from the mama's back, her muscles, her torso, her body, her nervous system. On top of that, obviously the immense stress reduction that we're seeing inside the float tank as well can be really beneficial for mothers as well. But one that stands out to me and that a lot of moms are coming in for is the ability to go into the silent darkness, into the quiet, and just bond with their coming baby. Mm. You know, so when they're in the tank and they can feel those sensations that are going on inside a little bit more strongly. You know what I mean? They're a little bit more intense. They can feel the kicks. They can feel the movement. They can feel the heartbeat. Mm. They can feel the growth. They can feel the breath. And it can lead to a really intimate bonding experience between the soon-to-be mom and and the baby. Yeah, she's really beautiful.
I mean, as somebody who will never be pregnant, even just hearing you say all that, it sounds pretty cool and pretty special. Again, when you completely shut everything else off and just focus internally, and just so happens that there's a little baby growing internally, I can't imagine the way that our body and our brain can then connect with what's going on. So that's pretty cool. You brought up about, you know, people who have potential liver issues or just struggles processing large amounts of, in this case, magnesium, like, especially for people who are purchasing these float tanks and putting them in their homes, is there a top end of a frequency that's like, hey, this is too much, like, you shouldn't be doing 4 float, you know, floats a day? Or is there a way that people can get too much magnesium or become, you know, overloaded and have a hypermagnesic state of sorts?
Yeah, I hear. Honestly, dude, this is one of the other main reasons that I really like to steer people towards transdermal forms, and why for myself it's been such a powerful tool. Because with oral mag supplements, I was playing guess and test for years, man.
Yeah.
Just taking mag pills and just praying I wasn't going to be on the toilet all night. You know what I mean? so that's really where transdermal mag is cool, because our body has a natural fail-safe mechanism. When we're laying in a float tank like this, our body is incredibly intelligent, as you guys know. And once my magnesium levels in my bloodstream are up to par and where my body wants it, then my hair follicles start to shut off, the pores start to shut off, and they don't allow any more magnesium into the body. So that's why for a lot of minerals, whenever possible, the transdermal forms are something that I personally like to steer towards, because I like allowing my body to have as much of a say as possible, because I trust my body so deeply. So when we're laying in a float like that, maybe you floated all day, you know, but maybe at the 60-minute mark, your hair follicles just say, hey, man, you got enough mag for today. We're good. And then it won't be soaking up anymore, which is a really cool thing. And it's a beautiful phenomenon with transdermal minerals and transdermal magnesium.
That makes sense, though, because it almost happens more by diffusion. And once you reach that equilibrium, you know, no more magnesium will need to be diffused, versus when you're taking it orally, you're kind of just like ramming it into the system and saying, all right, body, deal with this, and hopefully I got you enough. Totally. Or hopefully I didn't give you too much.
yeah, right. And for people that are playing with supplements like that, with the oral magnesium, a number that's really worked well for us, there's a good amount of research behind, is aiming for 5 milligrams of magnesium per pound of body weight. So if anyone at home, again, ideally we're getting this, because a lot of people from their standard diet, again, if we're talking about a 200-pound dude, ideally he's aiming for, most people, closer to the 1,000-milligram mark, or 1 g per day of magnesium, right? But the average American, even a healthy American, someone that's eating a lot of these magnesium-rich foods, is only getting closer to 300 to 350 milligrams of magnesium a day through their food. So with that said, the rest of that would ideally be coming through supplementation, whether it's oral or transdermal. A lot of us, it's from a foot soaking in the night, it's from a bath, from a float, is really cool. And I think one other thing on the transdermal as well, a lot of people here have probably heard of Epsom salt soaks. Maybe a lot of your listeners even use it for recovery, muscle recovery, different pains they're dealing with, etc. And Epsom salts are really great, and they're what a lot of people fill their float tanks with. But one thing we started exploring with and had a lot of success with was actually swapping from Epsom salt to Epsom salt's sneaky cousin called magnesium chloride. You guys familiar with the magnesium chloride?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, what we love about that is it has over 2.5 times more magnesium than Epsom salt. So if anyone at home, maybe they're already taking Epsom salt baths or foot soaks or something like that, we recommend just alternating or swapping the Epsom salt for magnesium chloride. And a lot of times, a lot of these clients are having a deeper relaxing, stress reduction, and sleeping better at night. A lot of these beautiful benefits we're getting from magnesium.
That's great. This has all been super informative, and I honestly am so excited myself to go experience it. But where can someone learn a bit more? Maybe they want to look into the tanks you have or the salts that you recommend. Is there a place that someone can go to?
Yeah, definitely. So anyone looking to learn more, we got our website at maxvitality.co. You can follow our stuff on Instagram. My personal is Max Casa, MaxxCasa. We also got our business Instagram, which is maxvitality.co, and see all the stuff we got up there. A lot of float tank installs going on. You can see our different float tank models, which we have open float pools. We have different enclosed float pods. We have commercial use ones. We have residential use ones, a bunch of different sizes, small, medium, large. Some even large enough to float two floaters at once.
Wow.
It's a really cool experience as well. And then we have our Vitality Salts, which is our bath blend product that we recommend. I know I didn't really touch on it too much, but for anyone that's interested, it's really a bath blend that we use for our transdermal magnesium. And it mixes the purest magnesium chloride with magnesium's three powerful cofactors, which are vitamin B6, which helps get the magnesium deeper into the cell, bicarbonate, which helps get the magnesium deeper into the mitochondria, and then boron, which helps our cells actually hold on to the magnesium longer and more effectively as well. So if anyone that's really serious about upping their mag levels, feel free to go there. And we got our Vitality Salts blend on there. A lot of people do foot soaks or baths or put a little bit in a spray bottle with water and spray it on in the morning, night, or after a hot shower, something like that. But if anyone's interested in float therapy, even just pop it on Google, checking out float center near me. You know, I understand not everyone's in the place to throw down on a float tank. That's cool. But I just hope some people listen to this, they get encouraged and inspired to go out and at least try a float sesh. Try it a few times. The first experience is a little different, you know, managing expectations and all the rest of it. But like you said, just making it a more of a practice, trying it out, learning each one, and each one you'll be able to relax deeper and deeper and faster and reap more of the beautiful benefits that floating has to offer. So reach out on there. I'm looking forward to connecting with more of you guys, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Sounds so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks so much, Max. We'll have that all linked up too.
Yeah, we'll have that all linked up down below. And I really appreciate this talk because sometimes, like you mentioned, floating or especially having your own float tank in your house can seem a little bit intangible for some people, but there are options and actionable options that people can take away from this chat to start trying to optimize in certain areas of their health. So really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your expertise.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah, looking forward to staying in touch and keeping the healing going. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode. I hope you really enjoyed that. I don't know about you, but I am so excited to try a float tank myself, especially after hearing all of the amazing benefits. And we even got some of the magnesium minerals so we can try it within our own bath. So I'm really excited about this. And of course, if you heard anything super interesting and you want to pass it along to friends, please do. The more people that get to hear these podcast episodes, the more people will continue to learn. So I hope you join us on the next one.